Is that better? Yes. Good morning, everybody. When I saw the order of service today, or not today, but earlier in the week when Effie sent it to me, I didn't think she could have picked any better songs. They are amazing songs. They give us guidance. They encourage us on the way. The Here I Am, Lord song was a song that I actually was used at my ordination. Because I'd been part of the church. I'd grown up in the church and then I left the church and I came back to the church. And it was that song with two words changed. Not a question to ask, is it I, Lord? But a statement to say that it is I, Lord. It is I, Lord, who you've called to follow me. Let us pray. By your Holy Spirit, O God, open our ears and eyes, our hearts and our minds to the Holy Word, so that it comes to rule within us for Jesus' sake. Amen. Our gospel reading this morning comes at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. It sounds like it's the day after his baptism and the day after that. John the Baptist was full of words of wisdom, proclaiming Jesus as the Lamb of God. John's influence encouraged two of John's disciples, to leave him so that they could go and follow Jesus. These disciples wanted to know who Jesus was. They wanted to know to get him better, and so they followed. They accompanied him to where he was staying. They must have liked what they saw because they hung around. In this passage, to follow doesn't just mean to walk behind. It means to live in, to remain with, to be faithful to, and to be obedient in all things. These men were like the Magi, who were already seeking the Messiah. Jesus' ministry was to introduce a new era in human history. Jesus takes the initiative and calls disciples. Following John the Baptist, Jesus calls people to repent, to turn around, to change their ways, because the kingdom of God is near. The kingdom of God is so close that you can touch it. This kingdom of God is in the inbreaking of God into history, into the lives of individuals and communities through Christ to release God's redemptive purposes. It's a power rather than a place. A future entity yet to be fully established. A covenant or a commitment we enter into continually, already but not yet. Just as he does with the disciples, Jesus says to us, come and see. Come and see the extraordinary in the ordinary. See God revealed. See what this new way is. See how love changes the world, how God extends grace to all, how healing the body heals the spirit, how peace overcomes oppression. Come and see the world turned upside down. See how the last will be first and the first last. Come and see the kingdom of God. But when you come, come with eyes prepared to see new possibilities, hearts ready to experience love, and minds to ponder a new way. On seeing Jesus, Andrew invites Simon. Simon becomes Peter. Peter becomes the rock, the foundation of the church. Later, Andrew was also to bring the boy with the loaves and the fishes to Jesus. When Philip is called, he invites Nathanael, and so one invitation leads to another. Philip's testimony falls short of the reality of who Jesus is. Yet Philip's simple "Come and see" is sufficient to bring Nathanael to Christ. Philip says, "We have found him of whom Moses and the prophets spoke. We have found the Messiah, son of Joseph from Nazareth." And Nathanael from Bethsaida says, "How can the Messiah come from Nazareth? What good has ever come from Nazareth?" Surprising. Surprising how we always think our own town is better. Surprising that this little town on a hill has somebody so incredible come from it. But on the meeting, Jesus acknowledges the truth in Nathanael. Nathanael, according to Jesus, was an ideal Israelite, one with no guile. He's honest and not a trickster, not like that Jacob, the first Israel, who conned and connived to get what he wanted. This man, Nathanael, was open and honest and seeking the truth, looking for, waiting for the Messiah. Nathanael sees something extraordinary in Jesus and is convicted that he is the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, King of Israel. Philip brings others to Christ as well. In John 12, it's Philip who brings the Greeks to Jesus. And in Acts, he shares the good news in Samaria, and the people paid attention to him. A short time later, he meets with and shares the gospel with the eunuch from Ethiopia. And Acts tells us that after his encounter with the eunuch, Philip finds himself in Azotus, where he proclaims the good news, and then through all the towns until he came to Caesarea. Andrew and Philip were quiet achievers. They were loyal disciples who experienced something in Jesus that they wanted to invite others to come to. They met people where they were, physically and spiritually. They didn't try and force people to come. They didn't have strong arguments. They just said, "Come and see." Many of us feel that we don't have the right words to invite people to Jesus. We don't know the Bible well enough. We don't understand it well enough. And here we have Andrew and Philip who just say, "Come and see." It's not about us. It's about God and what God can do in people's lives. Come and see. The invitation is extended. People have a choice. God's grace is extended to all. So what did those first followers of Jesus see in him? For at this stage, he'd performed no miracles. He'd shared no parables. He'd given no teaching sessions. Yet something about him stood out. Something drew people to him. It's just Christ's sheer presence that draws them in. Jesus has the ability to stir within us a response, even when we are not aware of it happening, nor are we able to explain it. It is God that moves the heart first. It calls us to Christ, calls us to change our ways, to leave our past behind and to become a follower. Jesus had seen Nathanael under the fig tree and knew him just as he knows us today. You might wonder what the significance of the fig tree is. If you know what a fig tree is, you know it's big and it's branchy and it's shady. Well, that's where the learning happened. That's the place that the Jews would sit to study scripture, to have discussions and to hear the rabbis arguing and explaining the scriptures. And sometimes those arguments were pretty fierce. Not in a violent kind of a way, but in a trying to understand what the words meant way. During Jesus' ministry, the disciples are loyal, faithful followers, and they are given truths that others aren't. But we are told throughout each of the Gospels that the disciples fail. They misunderstand. They do not grasp Jesus' parables. Their hearts are hardened and they have little faith. They're often perplexed by some of Jesus' miracles. And they just don't get the suffering Messiah. They suffer spiritual blunders and ultimately Peter denies. Judas betrays and they all flee. So what does that mean for us? The Gospels were written to comfort and encourage disciples on their journey, to reassure struggling communities that they too could eventually cope and that victory comes through suffering. We have to wade through the muck, through the tough times, hanging in there till we conquer. When Jesus is speaking of the promise made to Nathanael to see the glory of God rising and descending from heaven, he uses the second person plural pronoun. Now, if you don't understand what that means, that's fine. It means that he's not just talking to Nathanael. He's talking to all of us. That second person thing is us. It's you and me. So we are invited to experience God in Christ, and it is through Jesus that heaven and earth meet, the place where we can see heaven on earth. So I wonder if you have accepted the invitation to come and see. And if you have, what have you seen? What has God opened up for you? Where have you seen God's amazing creativity? And more importantly, who have you invited to come and see? We don't have to convince people. We don't have to argue with them. We just have to invite them to come and see. Even though we're invited to come and see, if we choose to believe, if we choose to follow, it's not enough to just believe. We must believe with a passion strong enough that we leave the old self behind and allow God to create us new. As Jesus told Nicodemus, we must be born again. Nathanael is amazed that anything good could come out of Nazareth. The amazing thing is that God can accomplish great things with the least of us and from the most unexpected places. God knows who we are. We heard the psalm. The psalmist says, Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I stand up. You know what I am going to say before it's even on my lips. You created me in my mother's womb. You knew me before I was formed. God knows our strengths and weaknesses, knows our fears and our doubts, and knows the things that we would rather forget. Yet even knowing all of this, Jesus says, come and see. We are invited to come and see who Jesus is, what justice looks like, how joy can exude from within, how love is lived, how hope is extended, how peace dwells, how humility abounds and righteousness reigns. But we are also invited to see how we have misinterpreted and misrepresented Scripture, how Scripture has been twisted to serve a multitude of purposes, how we have abused the good things given to us, how the poor and the destitute have been forgotten, and the indigenous of all nations stripped of their possessions. We are invited to come and see through different eyes. Our relationship with God is two-way, both parties talking, listening, reaching out to each other. God's greatness exceeds our imaginations, exceeds any experience that we have had, exceeds our greatest desire. So, are you open to that relationship? Are you willing to come and see where Jesus might take you, take us, take this congregation? Are you willing to let go of the known, the safe, the tried, and venture into a world of uncertainty? A world that needs the grace and love of God demonstrated and lived out in a new and compassionate way? Are you ready to come and see a new future, a new way of doing and living? Are you ready to come and see heaven on earth? Many of us have followed where we believe that God has led us, And it hasn't necessarily been easy. Has it necessarily been what we would expect it to be? But we aren't given any promises of what it will be like. All we're asked to do is follow. Samuel lies quietly waiting for God to call again. And when he does, Samuel says, "Speak, your servant is listening." God says, "I'm going to do something that will make the people's ears tingle." Are you listening? Are we listening? Are our hearts and minds open to the new thing that God might be doing through us and in us? Are you ready for an authentic encounter with God? Are you ready to come and see where God might lead you, where God might take you, where God might take this congregation or this community? Are you ready? Are you ready to come and see? Let's pray. You invite us, O God, to live in your ways, and you give us to each other to know and to love as we journey in this life. Show us your will for all creation. Help us to listen to your urgings with prayerful hearts, so that we may honour what you have made. In the name of the Holy Trinity, one God, now and forever. Amen.